Can Ethan, there we go. Look at that vehicle. It's all ready to go. It's an adventure vehicle. And on top, can you see it's got these? You know? Okay. Sadly, this one's empty. Are yours empty? So that vehicle doesn't know where it's going to end up. So it's got extra fuel put in these tanks. And that's what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks. We've been talking about your and my tanks. We have a verse that we've been looking at, and it's, where is it? It's in Luke chapter 10, verse 7, and here's the verse. Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. With all your heart. We spoke about that last week. That's with your spiritual tank. With all your soul, it's your emotional tank. With all your strength, that physical tank. And today, with all your mind. Love the Lord your God. And that is what we're looking at today. How are we doing on our tanks? Every week at the Life Group, we've spoken about what empties that tank and what fills that tank. And our prayer as leadership is that every single one of us will be aware of those tanks and be aware of what's emptying it and be aware of what's filling it and live in a place that is healthy. Why? So that I feel good. No, so that we can be a blessing to people around us. So that we can glorify our Heavenly Father. So we can love the Lord our God. That's how we can love Him. Isn't it incredible that we have this opportunity? So love the Lord your God with all your mind. How do we love Him with all our mind? Well, I Googled a few things about the brain. God has created us with this most incredible organ inside our heads. Did you know it weighs 1.36 kilograms? These are averages. It's 60% fat. 60% of this, so people who want to lose fat, I'm sorry, you've got 60% in there. You don't want to lose it. But it uses 20% of your oxygen. Hey? Incredible. It generates enough electricity to power a light bulb. Okay, need electricity? Plug in your light bulb to your brain. It contains roughly 100 billion neurons. 100 billion neurons, those little nerve cells. And most of them are, you have at birth, but you are still making neurons. Isn't that exciting? For me, at this wonderful age, I was so excited to read that. I'm still making neurons. I'm still making more brain in there. What a blessing. What a pleasure. God has not only given us a brain, what for? To think, not to power light bulbs. To think. He's designed us to think. Studies show from scientists that we have approximately, how many do you think? How many thoughts a day? 60,000. I don't know how they get this, but they say roughly 60,000 thoughts per day. But look at the sadness. 75% are negative. 42,500 thoughts every day that are negative. And of those, 95% of them are repetitive. Oh, this country's going to the dogs. Oh, this country's going to the dogs. Da, 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 repetitive. We all, scary, hey? Scary. Our thoughts affect our mood. Our thoughts affect, therefore, our decisions. Our thoughts then affect our behavior. Every single action that you do, good or bad, starts with a thought. Carson said, you are what you think. He's a Canadian theologian. You are what you think. So I think we need to think about our thoughts. We need to take notice of what we're thinking about. We don't become Christians without thinking. At the age of 13, and I'll tell my story one day if needed, but I came to the thought to think that my thinking was wrong. Going to church and having been to church, because that's how my mother brought me up, was not enough. Trying to be a good daughter was not enough. My thinking was wrong, and I realized I need Jesus in my life. I need Jesus as the Lord of my life. It's a thought that I acted upon. And 52 years later, yeah, I'm 65. 52 years later, stop the mess, all right, I'll tell you. 52 years later, I still need to think about my thoughts. All the time, during this preparation, being, oh God, help. Because if I want to be holy, and if I want to glorify my Father, I need to sort this out. I need to sort out the way that I'm thinking. I need to consider my thoughts. A little careful here. Be careful. I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm so clever. God's given me such a clever brain. Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, lean not on your own understanding. Blaise Pascal, incredible mathematician, but also incredible born-again Christian, says the supreme achievement of reason is to know that there is a limit to reason. No one's a better Christian because they have a high IQ or they have a low IQ. Every single one of us, it's got nothing to do with it. Because we all, as Christians, have access to the same Holy Spirit. And He's the one who's going to say, Lainey, woo, is that holy? Matthew 11 also, if you're still like, but I'm clever, you know. He hides things from the wise and reveals them to children. That's what God says. Please do not think, well, my brain's not good enough. I haven't had a good enough education. Whatever you put yourself down as. Stop it. Stop it. You are worthy. You have all that you need for life and godliness. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to think straight, to think holy. We're going to look at 3 points from the Bible. And our first one is transform your thinking. The beginning of Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Do not. The world is preoccupied with pleasure, my pleasure, my entertainment, my power, my money, my success, my glory. And I could go on. That is what it is obsessed with. Many are non-religious. I don't need God. That's what they think. I don't need God. I can reason. I've got this wonderful brain. Scientists are doing so much. We don't need God. Or over-religious. What do I mean by that? I want God to be what I want Him to be. When I say jump, He must jump. He's my butler. He must satisfy my needs all the time. That is not the way God thinks. That's not the way God wants us to think. He does. So He says, do not. But what does He say? Do. What does He tell us to do? Be transformed. Now, the word transform is the Greek word metanoia. And from that comes the word metamorphosis. Look at this incredible picture. He's pretty pretty, I must say. Black and yellow, but fat, squiggly, icky caterpillar who eats all my plants, goes into this chrysalis, and what comes out? Not a better caterpillar. Not a fatter, better caterpillar. Something totally and utterly different. I mean, isn't that amazing? That's what God wants to do with our thoughts. Not change your thoughts, transform your thoughts to something totally and utterly different. In the natural, my thoughts are caterpillar thoughts. Wrong thoughts, sinful thoughts, unhealthy thoughts. Nah. Driving home yesterday, this car in front of me, where was she going? Grief, she's so slow. That's critical. Lord, I'm sorry. But pray for this woman. Maybe her car's not working so well. Bless her as she goes. Let me not be impatient with her. Am I the only one who does that all the time? It's scary, isn't it, once you start thinking about it? I almost don't want to think about it. So the first step, guys, is to realize, I need to stop the way I'm thinking. I need metamorphosis. I need a radical change. And notice it doesn't say, try and be transformed. It says, be transformed. That means it can be done. In Jesus, with God, with the Holy Spirit. He wants to totally change the way we think. Many, many years ago, we battled to have a child. Long time, over 2 years. The way that I was thinking, I am never going to have a baby. Never. Watched all those around me. Never going to have a baby. I don't know if many of you have heard of Jean Guthrie, but I went to, it was a ladies' meeting, and she was speaking, and anyone wanted to pray, I went up, and I said, you know, I'd love to have a baby, da da da. She said to me, Lainey, you are thinking the wrong thoughts. You are thinking, I'm not going to have a baby. She challenged me to go and find in the Bible all the ladies who battled to have children. You know, there's lots. Lot, Rachel, Elizabeth, and I started to think differently. God wants to change our thoughts in the big things and in the day-to-day very little things. Holy Spirit guides us. We need Him. And we've said this, I think, every single week since we started, that you should all be able to tell me, where do we meet with the Holy Spirit? Where's the best place to meet with the Holy Spirit? On our own, in our quiet place, dedicating time every single day to His Word, to prayer, to meditation, to studying the Word. Are we doing it, guys? And there I can say, Lord, how was my day yesterday? What did I think about? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. Show me. Help me to stop that. We need to transform our thinking. Challenging, eh? Number two, take captive certain thought patterns. So 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Every thought captive to obey Christ. Watch this hilarious video. Get ready to jive. There we go. It's not very big. But could you all see what was happening there? A cow was loose on the highway, running amok. And this cowboy with his lasso gets him. That's what we've got to do. Your thoughts, my thoughts, are like cows running amok on a highway. They are dangerous. They're going to cause me problems. They're going to cause others problems. I need to take them captive. I need. Whose responsibility is it here? I've heard people pray, Lord, stop me thinking this. I take captive. Holy Spirit will tell us that's not a good thought, but he's not going to take it captive for you guys. You must take responsibility and stop that thought. Grab it. No, I'm not. I did that yesterday. I started thinking critical thoughts about this woman and I grabbed it. No, I'm not going to think like that. We need to take the responsibility. We need to choose to think differently. So what sort of thoughts, and I'm sure we could have lists of thoughts, but here's a few that you could think about that you and I need to lasso to take captive. Anxious thoughts. Envious thoughts. Bitter thoughts. Lustful thoughts. Critical thoughts. I've told you about my critical thought yesterday. Then there's many more, but those are, I think, ones that really can plague us. Someone once said, you can't stop a bird flying over your head, but you can stop it making a nest. You might not be able to stop that first thought. We're human. We are unfortunately got carnal nature. But you can capture it. And God calls us to capture it. And did you see what that verse said? Let me just read it that in bit again. Take every thought captive, just for, to obey Christ. And remember what our verse is? Love the Lord your God with and all your mind. How do we love him? We obey him. He loves us anyway. You know what? Even with all those thoughts and all the gazillions of thoughts I'm still having, he still loves me 100%. He still sees me as his special daughter. He still says, come into my presence, talk with me, let's have. But he loves it when he sees me doing things that glorify him and that honor him and that obey him. We can love God by obeying him and taking our thoughts captive. When do your thoughts run amok? When is your thought running down the highway? There's many factors, but I think, again, just main ones, tiredness, exhaustion. We stop thinking clearly. Big one, influence of others. Teenagers. Who are you hanging out with? And adults. Who are you hanging out with? Are they helping your thoughts? Or are they causing you to run amok? And big one today, poor inputs. Your movies, music, social media. I remember one student in teaching, he was a grade 12 boy, and he used to always listen to music. And I listened to his music, and I was like, dude, those words are disgusting. You are putting that into your head. No, ma'am, I don't listen to the words. I just like the music. Come on, give your brain some credit. And you know what's scary? When I listen to really cool songs, and then I listen to the words. Oh, hat. And if it's any encouragement, my children, thank God. We had two children, by the way. We do have two children, thank God. As a teenager, he really, and he still does. I actually messaged him to ask him yesterday. He really likes heavy metal. And there's some really he's now 30s. There's some really, when he was in his teenagers, I suppose there are still today, these really hectic heavy metal bands. So he searched and he found these Christian heavy metal artists. I asked him, what are their names yesterday? He says, one's called Demon Hunter. Now, oldies will go, ooh. but if you listen to the words, they're talking about Jesus. So guys, especially youngsters, please. I think, even harder, much harder than when I was a kid. We didn't do things like that, you know. Ha, ha, ha. Hard when my boy was whatever that is, 20 years ago. It must be even harder now. But you got to be careful what you're putting into your brain if you want to honor Christ. Hard, I know. So if you think about what I'm saying here, so if we can be reactive, grab that thought. But we can be proactive. We can watch our sleeping patterns. Wasn't that our physical thing? Eating properly, exercising properly to help us to think properly. We can watch who we hang around with. We can walk away from those grotty conversations. And we can watch what we watch and listen to. So we are being proactive in helping us to think the way God wants us to think. If I can just do a little very important aside here, and that's medication. There is definitely a physiological aspect to the way that we think. There's all these hormones. I don't know, serotonin's one of them, but there's a whole whack of hormones. And some people, because of circumstances, whatever it might be, those levels are too low. And you need medication. Please do not look down on that. Thank God for scientists. Thank God for doctors. Thank God that He's given us the brain to figure this out, to be able to measure it and to be able to correct it. But it is a crutch only. You know when you break a leg? They give you a crutch so that you can walk. You don't keep those crutches forever. You're still responsibility to exercise and to do things. In the same way, we still must take captive every thought. Don't just blame it on the medication or blame it on the lack of medication. We are responsible to take captive every thought in obedience to Christ. Last one, train your mind. So if point two was all about what we don't want, point three is about what we do want to think about. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That describes Jesus, doesn't it? Doesn't it describe Jesus? And that's what we think about. Holy Spirit will help us. He will say. He expects you to think, though. You need to ask as you're watching that movie, is that pure? Is that good? I know my mom is 88 years old. Yesterday, she's talking about watching, she loves watching TV. She can't move around much. She enjoys TV. She says, Lainey, I have to switch the TV off sometimes because I can't have Jesus sitting next to me as I watch that. I thought, that's lovely. That's an 88-year-old who loves Jesus, been a Christian for a long, long time. She's still conscious that she needs to watch what she's watching. Why? Because it influences in there. If you look at all the words that we had last time, and Ethan will put them up, look at the opposite that we could be thinking. Instead of anxious, think truth. Think of the promises of God. Think of what He says He will do. Oh, but what about God? You've promised, you are, He is faithful. Think the truth. When you have envious thoughts, they're not noble. They're not noble. They're thoughtless. They're careless. Envious thoughts. Let's think noble thoughts. Instead of bitter thoughts, let's think right thoughts about how people should be treated. Lustful thoughts. Instead of lustful thoughts, let's make sure that our thoughts are pure, chaste, innocent, clean. That's such, people say, but that's old-fashioned. No, it's not. It's biblical. The Bible is never out of date. Ever, ever, ever. Critical. Think friendly thoughts. Think loving thoughts. Think trustworthy thoughts instead of critical thoughts. God has given us the power to choose by the Holy Spirit. We have to take responsibility. We've got to take those left-hand side, those anxious, bitter, critical, and think what it says in Philippians 4, the noble thoughts, the good thoughts, the pure thoughts. There's a wonderful word, I'm sure many of these days everyone's heard of it, is neuroplasticity. Did you know that your brain is neuroplastic? What on earth does that mean? Here's the formal definition. The lifelong, NB, you're not too old, you're not too young, the lifelong capacity of the brain to change and rewire itself in response to the stimulation of learning and experience. We all have existing mental pathways in our brain, but it is possible to retrain our brain to make new neural pathways. That is science. We know that already from God. Transform, metamorphosis. We know, dudes, you're just catching up with what God's already told us. Think about if you're walking through a felt. I love walking. And let's say I have to go through this piece of bush all the time. I'm a game ranger and I'm going to check animals. And there's one way, there's nothing at first. So I look for the best path and I go and I go that path. Next day I come, can't really see where it was, but I know sort of where I went. And what happens over time? Begins to get a path. And I can follow that path very easily. But then let's say my path went past a river. With all these rains, the bank is starting to crumble. And I need to change my... It's dangerous. I need to change where I'm going. So what do? I make a new path. For the first while, it's hard. Because now I've got to make way through that grass again. But over time, what happens? The new path becomes evident and the old path disappears. That's what we're doing with our brains. We are shutting down, taking captive the negative, the wrong stuff. We're thinking the new stuff and we keep on doing it. And our thinking becomes more Christ-like. Incredible, hey? Thank you, Jesus, for this incredible brain. Maybe you say, I have to, now just you put in your stuff, I have to exercise and I don't want to. I've done this field course and they're challenging me to exercise. I have to exercise. No, I choose to exercise for the lifelong good it's going to do me. And because I want my tank in a healthy place. Whatever you've got in there, I have to. No, I choose to because ... Change our thinking. It's hard work. And I believe we're going to do it till the, I believe I'm going to do it till the day I die. But the Holy Spirit is there all the time, encouraging. Yes, you're doing good in that area. Loving on me. Romans 8 verse 6 says, for to set the mind on the flesh, to think the way the world thinks, is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Hey, what a promise. To set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Let's not choose death. Let's choose life and peace. And he doesn't get tired with us messing up, guys. If I just encourage you, don't be heavy. Think about it. As I said, as I've been praying, it's like, oh, my word. But I want to keep on thinking about it because I want to obey Christ. So recap. Guys, our thoughts are powerful. Don't negate them. God's given you the brain and they're very, very powerful. But the Bible says, transform your thinking. Take captive those wrong thought patterns. Train your mind. Amen.